It's a pleasure to be able to say, Amy Mann, welcome to the Mouthcast.
Thank you. Glad to be on it.
Before we get stuck in and talk about your new record, Mental Illness, let's just have a listen back to something of yours which I think is amongst your very finest moments, recognisable to some, I don't doubt, as absolutely pivotal to the P.T. Anderson movie Magnolia. This is Wise Up.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
Amy, that was Wise Up, a song which was included in the soundtrack to the film Magnolia. In fact, it was more than included in a way. An entire scene saw intercutting between several of the characters in the film, all of whom were in profoundly difficult circumstances. And in this astounding cinematic moment, they all began singing the words of that song. It was absolutely staggering, and that song has remained something of a treasure since then. So there we go, a little reminder of the past for you there.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling it a treasure. I have to say that that moment is so unusual, and when Paul first told me that that's what he was thinking of doing, I was like, I don't know how that's going to work. Like, that just sounds crazy. But it really was so moving and so odd and interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever seen anything quite like that before, actually. In fact, you were Oscar nominated for that soundtrack, weren't you? Or at least for one of the songs from it.
From one of the songs, Save Me.
Yeah. I guess an Oscar nomination is extreme recognition for someone who I've sometimes heard referred to as the songwriter's songwriter. In your opinion, why that particular moniker?
I don't know. I mean, when I hear something like that, I think that just means that I care about exact rhymes and will give my rhyming dictionary a workout to make sure a song is really, you know, that I'm doing the best I can by the song.
Is that almost a McCartney-esque attention to detail?
Yeah, although it's funny because McCartney definitely had times where he was like, you know, didn't seem to care at all about lyrics and just was more interested in having a good time with the music and seemed to feel like lyrics weren't really a target. I don't know, like McCartney's an interesting songwriter because sometimes his lyrics are really great and sometimes they're not even there.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know what his lyrical philosophy is.
He may have 10 lyrical philosophies. Do you think that's...
I think he toggles back and forth between them.
Is that flexibility as a songwriter, is that something that's important to you?
I don't know. You know, I can't really think that way because I think I more have a way that I feel like, you know, a song is not finished until it's got certain things. And I'm always trying to get better at that, you know, and that is more in the, internal rhymes and certain images and exact rhymes and that kind of thing. And it's, you know, not something I've always been able to achieve, but I'm always striving towards it. So I can't really imagine going back and forth between that really written approach and another, hey, we're just jamming, having a good time. Jamming and having a good time is not exactly what I'm known for.
So in that case, does it make it difficult sometimes to let things go, to let things out there?
No, because I have a really good sense of when something is going to get better if I keep working and when I'm just beating a dead horse. You know, I do kind of have a sense of where my abilities are, and I try to push right up to that ability, but then there is the diminishing returns where I know if I work on this song for another week, it's not going to get much better, and it's just time to leave it alone. And that's the way it is. You know, like I tried, I worked hard, and whatever was happening that day or that week that I was working on the song, it happens or it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know your craft inside out, and you know yourself very well as well.
Yeah, and you know your limits.
Yeah. So the new record, Mental Illness, I actually have the vinyl edition right here in front of me, and it's one of the prettiest packages I've seen in a long time. It's this beautiful artwork, a die-cut sleeve, and this sort of vivid pink vinyl record.
Yeah.
It's quite elaborate packaging for what is, in many ways, I think, your most intimate record of recent times. As the songwriter's songwriter, again, let's say, with everything in view as a possible inspiration, I wondered when listening to this record in particular, and it's barely been off my turntable for a week, whether you yourself were the source of the lyrics, whether you were the focus, or whether these are stories and characters.
I think most of them aren't about... I mean, I do have songs about people who have stolen credit cards and wound up in the hospital, and you know, so not that's not my level. My level of mental illness is something to the right of that.
Okay.
You know, some of it. I mean, certainly the songs that are more about anxiety and depression and repeating your same mistakes over and over and not understanding why you can't fix your own problems and that kind of thing. You know, that's a little more garden variety, and I'm certainly of no stranger to that stuff.
Mm. Because I love that question that I've always found myself asking when I've listened to your stuff, whether this is about you or whether you're in character. So I guess there must have been elements of both throughout all of your work.
Yeah, there's always elements of both. And, you know, and the guy who stole a credit card and wound up in the hospital is someone I know.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, so it's not like it didn't, you know, but even within that, that's fictionalized. Like, I didn't see him in the hospital. You know, that's more... you know, as soon as I think I start writing about something real, it turns into a story, and then I'm just concerned with the story and the song. Then it becomes about the song. You know, it's the feelings. A situation like that where you find out someone has been deceptive or even to a criminal degree is very startling. It's very upsetting. But you don't necessarily, you know, you use those feelings as a starting point. Then it becomes more about the song.
I've also wondered whether you are a particularly private person and this is a craft, or whether it's something that you're compelled to do, the notion of exposing yourself emotionally.
Well, that's interesting because it's kind of both. I am private, but that's also why I wouldn't write a song that was really strictly just about me, you know, that it does immediately become fiction. But also, writing fiction, I don't know, is sometimes more accurate. It's more emotionally accurate because if you tell people the exact details of exactly what's happening, it's all context for you. You know, something happens to you, that's significant because it echoes a thing that happened when you were a kid, and only you know about that. And so you have to immediately fictionalize it to get those kind of things across, I think.
To make it more universal.
Yeah, or keep it more... diverse, murky images that get across an emotional tone without necessarily telling an exact story.
Stuck in the past, like drawing rings around Saturn. Was cast, but now it follows a pattern. I don't know what that arrangement was, I could never tell, but you could. I don't spare the homes all fell, leveled with the smell of new.
I don't know what that arrangement was.
stuck in the past, just drawing rings around Saturn.
One of the things I found when listening to Mental Illness was that these were moments. Like each song is a moment just before something happens in a way, perhaps a decision or an action or something. It was intoxicating actually to wonder what happened next to some of the people in the songs.
Oh.
And really compelling to witness them on the verge of something. That's a really intoxicating place to be, isn't it? On the edge of a knife, if you like.
Well, that's interesting. I love hearing that. That makes it sound... I like that it had that effect on you.
Mm. Well, I like that you like that. I also found that I felt some of the songs were love songs in a way, and I can't quite put my finger on that, or I haven't been able to yet, but I did feel that. So I wondered, how do you feel about the idea that love is actually a form of mental illness? Like the famous Socrates quote, love is madness.
I don't necessarily think it's mental illness. I mean, I think that's probably a little more cynical than I would go. I do think it can be almost drug-like.
Mm.
So, you know, I do think it has an addictive quality. I think that people project an enormous amount of their own needs and past onto people in a way that's kind of fascinating, but doesn't necessarily negate the experience either. You know, there's something about, you know, there is something lovely about singling out someone and finding everything wonderful in them and overlooking everything bad. I mean, that is kind of sweet and magical, even if it wears off. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not important and real.
Perhaps this sounds cynical, but perhaps love then is turning the positivity dial, just clocking it one number over where it needs to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of compassion in your work as well. A cursory listen back to the track we heard at the top of this podcast, Wise Up, would be a perfect way to illustrate that. But as a writer, are you a student of human behaviour? And how sort of adept are you at navigating the stuff you talk about in your own life?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think like everyone, there are certain things, you know, certain kind of dynamics that really get to me that I have a lot of problems with. I think as a human being, you have to be constantly working on getting better at self-awareness. You know, it's something that you have to practice. And working on self-awareness, you have to then work on actively counteracting your own worst impulses and trying to just, one step at a time, do things differently.
Yeah.
Instead of going back to your same, you know, the same patterns over and over. And I do think I repeat the same patterns over and over, just like anybody, you know, just like most people, but I think you have to be encouraged by small advances, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and not to be too Pollyanna, like I have to look at it like, well, here's an opportunity to, you know, if I'm interacting with this person, they're doing the same thing over and over that drives me crazy. It's a good chance to practice doing something different.
Yeah.
Like you do know it's always going to come, you know, it's going to come back at you the exact same way. So you can try something different.
So it's that old saying, isn't it? If you do what you always did, you'll get what you've always got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and also I've heard people say, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can always try just changing one thing and see. You know, I find really the dynamics between people, I think that's really interesting because it's not just you, it's also them. But you are the only thing that you can change in that dynamic. And at the point in the circle, that's the only place you get to enter is where you are.
That's
interesting. I mean, I have seen that happen where I have changed my approach to people or in a group of people. And everything changes.
Yeah,
and it's really fascinating.
That's quite Buddhist to recognize your own responsibility there.
Yeah, and of course the trick is you can't go into it thinking, I'm going to change this situation. You can only go into it thinking, I'm going to change my response. All I can control is me.
Okay, that's interesting, bearing in mind the next question, really, because you're not known for political commentary necessarily in your music, but I do see your social media from time to time, and from time to time you express very clear opinions on there.
Yeah.
So, bearing in mind you have Mr. Trump at the helm over there, do you think it's time for people to take the responsibility for that themselves and do something about it?
Or? Yeah, it's a question that's occupied me and everybody else I know.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do? I think it's a hard question to answer. Participate in politics locally, call your congressman, call your senator, and you know, as much as I hate picking up the phone and talking to people I don't know, I've done that and I'll do that. I'm lucky because all my representatives are very very anti-Trump, and so I know they're not, you know, they're not, I don't need to call them all the time and flog them to vote in certain ways. But if there is a thing you can do that you haven't done before, do that thing. If you have to start small, but you know, yeah, I feel like it's an emergency and it's time for everybody to pitch in some way.
I think that's global, actually, isn't it? Rather than
yeah.
Is it a responsibility of an artist to go to that ground and talk about it? Politics, I mean.
I sort of feel like if you can. I'm not really good at articulating complicated political thoughts. I'm not very schooled in it. Maybe the best I can do is write a dumb song about Trump, which I've done, or just retweet certain things in Twitter so other people can read things and spread the word, but that's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not a great, you know, I mean, there are other entertainers, you know, like the actor Bradley Whitford, who was on the West Wing, who was in my videos, and, you know, he's pretty outspoken, and he goes around and talks to people. That's a certain talent that I wish I had. I do think it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility of a citizen, you know, not necessarily an artist. You know, like, what can I do? What mediums do I have to try to help the situation out?
Yeah, I think perhaps in a way your stuff is political in that it's often about personal interaction, and it has that compassionate nature that we talked about. It's got that element to it, so it's very human, which after all is what politics is, I think.
Well, you know, if Trump had a little more self-awareness, that would go a long way.
Yeah.
Although I think his lack of self-awareness is eventually going to be the thing that brings him down.
It's actually quite, this sounds ridiculous, but it's actually quite endearing. It's quite amusing to see him, I think, because he just seems so far out of his depth.
Yeah, it's like seeing a child.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, we can simultaneously feel sorry for him and also feel like he has to be removed immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to play out with the new single "Goose Snow Cone," which is also the opening track of the new album "Mental Illness." There's a video for this song which has just come out online over the last couple of days with a very striking looking cat in it. Who doesn't love a cat?
And this song was inspired by this particular cat.
The cat in the video?
Yeah, the cat in the video. Because my friends own this cat, and they often post pictures on Instagram. And I was on tour, and it was snowy, and I was feeling exhausted and lonely and homesick. And I saw a picture of this cat with her little white head looking like a snowball. And I started writing a song about loneliness and talking about the little snow cone of the goose kitty. And I was going to replace it, of course, because it's ridiculous to have a song about that has this phrase about a cat head looking like a snow cone. I never came up with a phrase I liked better, so it stuck.
Excellent. Amy Mann, thank you very much for your time.
That was great. That was fun. Thank you so much, Steve.
Looking into the face of the goose snow cone. Should be shaking it loose, but you do it alone. Every look is a truce, and it's written in stone. keep it together when your friends come back. Always checking the weather, but they wanna know why. Even birds of a feather find it hard to fly. Thought I saw at my feet an origami crow. Under the snow, always snatching defeat, it's the devil I know. Gotta keep it together when your friends come back. Always checking the weather, but they won't. But I couldn't go on. I just wanted a place, but I ended up gone. Gotta keep it together when your friends come back.
www.themouthmagazine.com